Blog Talk Radio.
Sun's on my back, winds in my ears.
Hello, and welcome to Those Darn Guys Who Happen to Be Therapists. I'm psychologist Dr. Jim Weaver, along with psychotherapist Hughes Kraft and couples therapist Dr. David Sanford, and we will be boldly going out into the potosphere once again where no therapists have gone before. Or failing that, hopefully putting the fun back in dysfunctional and bringing some insights into the issues of life, love, and the search for a decent relationship. And we'll be joined once again today toward the end of the show by psychologist Dr. Mark Kiefner, clinical director of Bayside Neurorehabilitation Services, with some cutting-edge brain research called A Minute on the Mind. Good morning, Dr. David Sanford.
Good morning to you, Dr. Weaver.
And we're going to be boldly going out there this morning. We're going to be talking about sex and intimacy. And hello, Hughes Kraft.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Hughes.
All right, we've got the full crew here, which we're going to need this morning, I think.
Listen, your uncertainty, I think, is showing a little bit, James. Why are we?
I know who I'm dealing with. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. All right, buddy.
Let's talk about sex and intimacy. How are those two related for you guys?
Well, can I start maybe with throwing out a question?
Okay, sure.
Is pornographic sex intimate? Or can pornographic sex be intimate?
Well, you want to start right out there, don't you?
Wow, that's jumping in with 2 feet right into the fire.
I need a little more foreplay than that, David.
Well, the question immediately brings up, what do we think of as intimacy?
Right.
Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
I think
the question, one question I have is, what is pornographic? First of all, we've got to define that. I think a lot of things are called pornographic, which are just good, healthy sex. I think it's a crime, really, to confuse those two. I think of pornography as something that demeans sex, or demeans people, or demeans interactions between people. And if you define pornography that way, it can't be intimate. But
right.
If you're talking about erotica, if you're talking about really a blatant depictions of sexual behavior and so forth, that can be very intimate. It can really start conversations between couples in terms of what they like, what they don't like, what turns them on, what turns them off. And
yeah.
I think it's reasonable to say anything that doesn't hurt anybody, or doesn't abuse anybody, or doesn't force anybody can be fine. That doesn't mean it would be, the other person's cup of tea, and that would be something that would turn them on. It might turn them off, but there's
mm-hmm.
nothing bad about it or wrong about it.
Okay.
Okay. So come on, guys.
Yeah, I don't have much thoughts about this part right here. I don't know. I'd like to get back to the intimacy piece, because, I think it has a lot to do with leading up to good, healthy sex. And I'm struck with one of the thing about pornography is, on the internet, it is the thing that gets the most hits. So there's obviously
sure.
a need there for people, around
right.
pursuit and participating and enjoying that. And I think, Jim, you're right on with, you know, kind of fleshing that out around healthy and unhealthy attitude around mm-hmm. that. I'm just mm-hmm. wondering around where the intimacy crosses or intersects with sex pornography, you know, and mm-hmm. back to Dave's question, you know, is there intimacy in pornography? Is that, wasn't that your question, Dave?
Yeah. Well, I mean, are they compatible at all? And my assumption is that they aren't, and it's because behind that assumption is a definition of sorts of intimacy, and that is intimacy is an exchange between two people. You can't be intimate all by yourself, I don't think.
Right.
And intimacy is an exchange between two people in which each is willing to be very personally open.
Right.
And risk-taking in terms mm-hmm. of what she or he reveals about herself or himself. And it's intimacy is very up close. In the sense that the two people are strongly connected and revealing of themselves to each other.
Right.
Yeah, and I think there's an assumption of vulnerability there.
Yeah.
Somehow you're opening yourself up. You're a little vulnerable, and I think that's the best kind of sexual connection. I mean, one of the phrases I think about is, you know, again, this is a cliche or a generalization, but in general, men need sex in order to feel close, and women need to feel close in order to have sex. And it's one of, you know, God's little jokes that these things are sometimes at cross purposes to each other. So I think sometimes the best aphrodisiac that a guy can pursue is being close or being intimate with his wife. The biggest turnoff is if she's feeling distant or there's distance between the two of them. I talked about foreplay before. I think, you know, one of the best examples of foreplay is connecting on an emotional level, so that there's some sense that the two of you are together or connected or whatever, like you were talking about, David. That's what, you know, that's one of the definitions of intimacy. And
so connecting on an emotional level to you is part of the sex act, but
yeah.
It could be connecting emotionally together sitting at the kitchen table.
Sure.
Is it not?
No, I meant that. I meant it at the kitchen
yeah,
table
yeah.
or wherever. Sure.
Yeah, someone once explained to me the definition of intimacy is into me you see. You know, it's
ooh,
kind of dropping that
ooh,
veil of, into me you see. You know, if you just kind of slow down the word intimacy.
Yeah, I like
it
that.
Is about
like
taking, it. Yeah, taking a little risk with ourselves and being vulnerable yeah. as a way of kind of opening ourselves up and
yeah.
joining, like you said.
Right.
And then the other
it's
point that I heard.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Other point.
I was just going to say that the other point was, you know, the biggest, the sex organ is really up on the shoulders. It's not down in the groin sometimes, you know, and sitting down over the kitchen table and having a conversation can really grease the tracks, you know, per se. So
I would say it's both.
Did you make that up? Did you make
yeah,
that up
every,
on the shoulders?
I make everything up.
Wow, man. I mean, that's
steals everything, just like I do.
I bet you didn't make up into me you see, though. Right?
No, I got that. I got that from a very wise person.
Yeah, you said that. Yeah, you said that. Part of intimacy is not just your willingness to be open and revealing about yourself and another part of it, which is also risk-taking for many of us, is being deeply open to the other person.
Right?
Right? I mean,
yeah,
not deeply interested in
right.
what that person, who that person is and what that person is going through and receptive to what that person has to say and connected to what that person feels in that part of it, intimacy, whether it's sexual intimacy or intimacy that isn't connected directly to sex at all, that part of it, I think, can be quite a challenge for many of us.
Right. And I think that's why, you know, sex is really hot when you first are with somebody, because that's the time when you are the most interested in another person. You know, you are intently focused, and I think that translates into you know, a lot of eroticism, a lot of sex, and it's a challenge as you get to know that person, and later you're kind of bored with their jokes, or you know, you've heard that story over and over again, or now, you know, some resentments build up. That's a real turnoff for sexuality, is when you're, you know, when you're resentful or bitter, and you sort of put those things away, that can get in the way.
It may be a real turn. Go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, you know, all that resentful stuff can build up over the course of a relationship, and if there isn't some time over the kitchen table to kind of process some of that stuff in an intimate way, who wants to have sex with someone who you're totally angry at or is angry at you, you know? So
right.
There's another value to the role of intimacy, and it doesn't necessarily need to be all wonderment talk. It's about talking about the hard stuff too at times.
It's just what I was going to say. I think that's totally, totally correct. And in fact, that may or may not lead to hot sex. But if people bring up where they're really at and they're present for each other and accepting of what the other person has to say as this is the way you feel about it, this is the way you see it, under those conditions, gratitude, I think. Gratitude because somebody's being really generous. Gratitude, you know, sort of arises. And, you know, maybe there's a sexual component to feeling deeply grateful to somebody who has been respectful of what you have to say, even when what you have to say is not particularly, you know, pleasing to the other person.
Right. Right. But if it's, you know, if it's said with love, if it's said with, you know, genuine care, then it can promote that closeness and that intimacy. If you say something that's, you know, hard or not particularly positive, and your intentions are not really good, then it can be a turnoff. So I think we're all agreeing that a caring, a real appreciation of the other person is a large component of that. Not that
on the other hand,
there's nothing wrong with, you know, there's nothing wrong with just, you know, one of those moments when it just clicks and, you know, it's just hot sex for no particular closeness or reason. It's just the sex is the connection.
Yeah, and in fact, it may be. I mean, I don't know this directly, of course. I've only heard about this from books. But it may be that sometimes sex can be really satisfying if it is brand new and if it doesn't carry very much personal baggage or stuff at all.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's kind of like you sort of met on a long distance bus ride, you know, and
this is way too revealing, David.
It isn't revealing at all, James. It's from my novelistic imagination.
This is a friend of yours who was on this long-distance bus trip.
Look at that. This is not an intimate moment at all.
No, it just... wasn't good. That wasn't good. We can't have sex.
I'm sweating a little bit right now. I'm making an intimate revelation here. I'm sweating a little bit. I'm not sure entirely why. Just that you insist on saying this is my feeling, my, you know, personal Well, maybe it ought to be. Maybe the whole damn thing, maybe the whole exploration amongst the three of us ought to be entirely in my experience, you know?
Oh, yeah.
No generalization.
Just drop this therapist.
Huh?
As long as it's intimate, right?
Yeah, the other thing is, you know, obviously this is three guys talking, and I wish we had some women, and if there are any out there listening and want to come on, let me know.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you know, it's you know, we all have and have had important women in our lives, and so we know something from that perspective. But it really has to have a male taint to it. I don't know if taint is the right word, but male perspective to it.
Yeah. It does. It does need a woman on the conversation, I think.
Help!
we should have gotten our significant others to call in with us. That would have been interesting. Maybe we'll do another show with that. No. What?
I'm thinking where to take this now.
Okay.
Well, I think where you were going with it a minute ago was just the sex for the sake of having sex, kind of biological necessity piece. You know, how does one balance that into the relationship as a particular need and a need fulfillment? You know, and it's like, you know, do we have a right to kind of say, hey, you know what, I need some sex, and without having much conversation in an intimate way, you know,
mm-hmm.
is that okay
mm-hmm.
to do in a relationship, or does it push the boundary or the envelope too far in a direction of maybe risking resentment?
Right.
You're talking about an open relationship in a way in which both the, you know, there's a committed couple, then both of them are free occasionally to explore a sexual relationship with somebody else. Are you talking about that right now?
No, I'm just talking within the confines of a committed relationship, you know, just maybe one person is interested and one person is not interested for various reasons, you know. Is it okay to kind of say, hey, you know, we're overdue, we need to have some sex, you know, sex for the sake of having sex,
yep.
versus, you know, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think that may go back to, you know, that phrase that I used before, that men sometimes need to have sex to feel close.
Right.
It's an easier pathway for them to be close, to be intimate through that sexual expression. And so sometimes if you're feeling distant, that's a way to say, you know, I need some connection. I need some closeness. Women are not so much that way. Some are, but, you know, it's not the majority, I don't think. Again, we don't have any women here to corroborate those things, but, you know, women are more needing to feel close or needing to feel connected before they're feeling open to sex. So,
are you suggesting then that women are not interested in a quickie?
Well, again, you know, we can't overgeneralize, but sometimes some women are. No, seriously. You know, I think some women are, and sometimes other women who are not usually open to that are, you know, so.
Yeah, but I mean, you can have a relationship, a marriage or any a committed relationship that has its intimate moments, and both people... Each person feels very accepted by the other fundamentally and feels that they're with a partner who is genuinely supportive of them and interested in their life.
Right.
So it is a relationship characterized in a general way by intimacy. Within that, a whole bunch of possibilities can be had because of the trust between two people, one of which, one possibility being, how about a quickie?
Right.
You know, the kids are away for the afternoon. It's now or practically never. You know, let's just hop into bed.
Yeah. Yeah, and
seem okay?
I'm sorry?
Does that sort of do I get a yes to that? No problem.
You get an amen.
You get an amen. Two amens.
But you gentlemen like to explore what's behind that amen further.
Yeah, I think that I think sometimes there's the case of giving a gift. You know, I'm not in the mood. You are. I'll try to get in the mood. I'll give you that gift. You know, rather than all right, I'll do it. You know, etc. So
you have just, I think, you found your way to an interesting topic in itself.
Uh-huh.
Well, sex is a gift. To me, one move away from that is sex as relationship commerce. You know,
commerce.
Like you've been a good you. Well, yeah, in the sense of you've been a good boy. You've been a good boy, and you pestered me long enough. And let's get into bed. And do you mind if I continue eating my lunch while we?
You're out there today, Dave. Out there, buddy.
You want me to come back in, or you like me?
No.
Stay there.
I think it's great.
Okay. No, but they don't you find in work with couples that there's a lot of that? A lot of that sort of just fury about sex, you know, you humiliate me, I have to beg for it, or you don't care about me, you just want me to service you all the time,
right.
Back
right.
and forth. I hear a lot of that.
Sure. And there's some real intimacy missing there, way before you get the path back. Or the path, you know, to some good sexual relationship is through the couple connecting again on some deep and basic levels. Otherwise, you know, you do have that sad situation, I think. Hey, listen, guys, what do you think? How about bringing in Dr. Mark Kiefner for A Minute on the Mind? See what he has
still,
to say.
He hasn't run away.
No, he's here. He's here. Yeah. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Jim. Hi, David. Hi, Hughes. How are you guys doing?
Hi, Mark.
Good morning, Mark.
We're doing
Mark.
Good.
Yeah, you sound like three really horny guys.
You're being very helpful right now, Mark. I must say. Set aside neurophysiology here and let's...
I think I want to come in at the beginning of the show instead of the end of the show in the future.
Oh, yeah.
Why is that?
I think it's better to say something and then turn you guys loose.
Yeah.
Coming in at the end trying to pull it together.
And, yeah, quite so. I mean, you do have an extra bird.
So.
Yeah.
So how about some dry clinical information, doctor?
Well, you know, I was... I was thinking about the show, and I was watching Helen Fisher last night. And Helen Fisher is an anthropologist who's one of my favorite writers in the area of sexuality and intimacy. And she's actually kind of been looking at brain regions associated with relationships and intimacy. And when she talks about the brain actually having three systems, a sex system, which is a sex drive, which is our search for a partner, which is what happens when you're sort of hunting around, and then the romance, the intense elation and opposite side of the coin, depression associated with romance, the obsessional quality of romance, and what she's discovered in her functional MRIs of people in romantic love is that they the areas of the brain that are associated with addiction, like cocaine addiction, actually light up in people who see a picture of their romantic love interest.
Wow.
Yeah. So, which is why we get that withdrawal, you know, when they're away, you think it's the end of the world. And so she talks about the romance function of our brain, and also then the attachment function of our brain, which she describes as the it's more intimate than romance, in the sense that it's closer and there's got a broader span, and it's more realistic, and it allows us to tolerate the people that we attach to after a while.
But a broader span in terms of its content, or in terms of the area of the brain that is involved?
It's a broader area of the brain. It involves more more frontal activity and more activity in something called the nucleus accumbens, which is a part of the brain that actually calculates risks. You know, like, should I do this or shouldn't I? Yeah, I probably ought to stick with her. Probably cost too much to get divorced, that kind of thing. But interestingly, she got interested in, well, why is it that some people have, you know, they've been married 10 or 15 or 20 years, continue to have these passionate relationships. And
with each other.
With each other. Yes, with each other.
Yeah.
And because it's very easy to have a passionate relationship with someone that you're not with day after day, because it's all fantasy.
Right.
But
yes.
She finds their brain scans light up just like people in romance, in the romantic stage.
Oh, interesting.
You show someone that's been married 10, 15, 20 years a picture of their loved one, you still get that cocaine-like reaction in the brain.
Wow.
Doesn't happen for everybody, obviously, but it raises the question for a therapist, and I'll take myself out of that group. Turn that back over to you guys, but it raises the question of how do you work with couples in a way to kind of re-stimulate that romance?
Excellent question. Yeah,
excellent.
And we'll have to do that on a future show because we're running out of time here. But yeah, I think that's a real challenge. I think the short answer is you really try to get them connected with something passionate and exciting about each other, something new and different after all of the things where they've, you know, sort of old and tired and tried and true. You actually have them look at each other and see each other in a new way that starts some new interest and excitement. But yeah, I think that's a great question. My question for you is, which do you think is better, cocaine or romance?
They're both very costly.
That's right.
Dear.
We have to do your own cost-benefit analysis there, buddy.
Yeah, exactly.
You're clearly a good dancer. I mean, you pirouetted away from that one just beautifully.
I think I'm a romance guy myself, but
Yeah.
And I think that's generalized. Actually, romance is the focus of, you know, much of our art, our music, our poetry, our literature. I mean, you know, it's woven into us.
Yeah. Right.
On that note, we're going to have to close because we're just about out of time. One more thing you want to say, David?
Yeah, I do. I wonder if there's a possibility while we're all here to have a session about romance. And maybe about keeping romance alive, in which all three of us are present for the whole session.
Okay.
Because I think that that's an area in which, you know, discoveries about the brain would be very apt and useful to the kind of overall exploration of the topic.
An excellent idea, and we will put that on the schedule. Okay, guys, see you next week. Great to be with you, and look forward to next week.
Have a good week, everybody.
Take care, guys.
Same to you guys. Bye.
Here's Megan Jo Wilson taking us away.
Well, in the evening, we get together, long day. So many times, Lord, and you. Take me away.